Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we have been studying the subject, Five Keys to Finishing Well in Life. Many people have observed people who started out well in God and yet finished poorly. Perhaps they were ministers who did great works for God for a period of time, and yet some sin caused them to be taken out of the ministry and their life ended in a tragic way. And yet that is not God's heart for any of His children. God desires that each and every one of us complete our course in victory, complete our course well. And there are many biblical keys to finishing your course well. And this week we have examined several of them. We took a look at the key of obedience to God, the key of developing a heart that lives to give, the key of faith. And then today, we will look at a lifestyle of forgiveness as one key to finishing well in life. Mark 11:25 tells us, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions." God has called us to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. God is a forgiving God, and He always allows us to go to Him and to confess our sins. And the Scripture tells us He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. But He also calls us, as His children, to be imitators of God and to be ones who extend forgiveness, just like God has extended forgiveness to us. In fact, it tells us here in Mark 11:25, "Forgive so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you." It's a vital component of the victorious life and of the life that finishes well before God that a lifestyle of forgiveness is in place. God wants us to be ones who live a lifestyle of forgiveness. Wherever you go in life, you'll encounter people who will sin against you, who will offend you, who will rub you the wrong way or irritate. And yet God has called us to forgive, to release, to let go of any trespasses, sins, transgressions against us, any offense that's ever been committed against you, no matter how grievous or how grave. God calls us to be ones that by the strength of His power in our life, His grace operating through us, not in your natural strength, you couldn't forgive anyone. You would hold a grudge, become resentful or bitter if you try to do this in your natural ability, because human nature wants to retain offenses, but the nature of God is to release and to forgive, to overlook and to love. And that's the lifestyle of forgiveness that we've been called to. And it truly is a key to finishing well in life, is for you to develop a lifestyle of forgiveness. Understanding that we live in a fallen world surrounded by fallen people who will sin against us day in and day out. And even fellow believers will have weaknesses or blind spots where they will perhaps offend or sin against us. And yet God calls us to forgive them as well. Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter 6 and 7 was a person who finished his course well. It was said about Stephen that when they looked upon his face, it was as if they were looking at an angel. His face just radiated the very presence of God. And yet his holy countenance did not convince the religious leaders who were insanely jealous of this group of followers of Jesus Christ. It did not convince them of the truth of their message. And though Stephen eloquently explained from the prophets to the present time how God had called people to repent and to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and Messiah, he ended up being stoned by those people. In Acts 7, 59 to 60, we find these words, "And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep." Stephen sounded a lot like Jesus when he went to the cross. In Luke 23, verses 33 to 34, we find this account. "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the one side and the other on the other side. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Both Jesus forgave freely the very ones putting him to death. Stephen as well forgave those who were taking his life. A lifestyle of forgiveness is what we have been called to as believers, but it truly is a key to finishing well in life. Without that key of forgiveness, that lifestyle of forgiveness cultivated, we will not finish our course well. You'll be stumbled by the offenses of others. You'll be tripped up when someone hurts your feelings. You'll retain that offense. Perhaps you won't speak to that person. A story that was told in Guidepost magazine over 20 years ago, the story was told by a nurse as she experienced it. The hospital was unusually quiet that bleak January evening. I stood in the nurse's station on the 7th floor and glanced at the clock. It was 9 p.m. I threw a stethoscope around my neck and headed for room 712, last room on the hall. Room 712 had a new patient, Mr. Williams, a man all alone, a man strangely silent about his family. As I entered the room, Mr. Williams looked up eagerly, but dropped his eyes when he saw it was only me, his nurse. I pressed the stethoscope over his chest and listened. Strong, slow, even beating. Just what I wanted to hear. There seemed little indication he had suffered a slight heart attack a few hours earlier. He looked up from his starch-white bed. "Nurse, would you call my daughter? Tell her I've had a heart attack, a slight one. You see, I live alone and she's the only family I have." "Of course I'll call her," I said, studying his face. He gripped the sheets and pulled himself forward, his face tense with urgency. "Will you call her right away as soon as you can?" He was breathing fast, too fast. "I'll call her first thing," I said, patting his shoulder. I flipped off the light. As I left his room, he called out, "Nurse, could you get me a pencil and paper?" I dug a scrap of yellow paper and a pen from my pocket and set it on the bedside table. I walked back to the nurse's station and picked up the phone. I dialed the number and explained to the young lady on the other end that her father had had a slight heart attack. Her reaction shocked me. "No," she screamed into the phone. "He's not dying, is he?" "His condition is stable at the moment," I said, trying hard to sound convincing. "You can't let him die," she said. "My daddy and I haven't spoken in almost a year. We had a terrible argument on my 21st birthday over my boyfriend. I ran out of the house. I haven't been back. All these months I've wanted to go to him for forgiveness. But the last thing I said to him was, 'I hate you.'" Her voice cracked and I heard her sobbing. I sat, listening with tears in my eyes. She controlled herself and finally said, "I'm coming right now. I'll be there in 30 minutes, and hung up the phone. I knew I just had to get back to room 712, and I hurried down the hall in nearly a run and opened the door. Mr. Williams lay unmoving. I reached for his pulse, and there was none. "Code 99, room 712, code 99, stat!" The alert was shooting through the hospital within seconds. Mr. Williams had had a cardiac arrest. I leveled the bed and began CPR. Finally, the doors burst open and nurses and doctors poured in with emergency equipment. The doctor took over CPR. Finally, he grabbed for the electric shock paddles, trying to start his heart. Nothing. No response. Mr. Williams was dead. A nurse unplugged the oxygen. One by one, they left, grim and silent. How could this happen? How could this happen? I stood by his bed, stunned. How could I face his daughter? When I left the room, I saw her standing against the wall by a water fountain. A doctor who had been inside 712 only moments before stood at her side talking to her. Then he moved on, leaving her slumped against the wall. She knew. The doctor had told her her father was gone. "Janie, I'm so sorry," I said. "I never hated him, you know. I loved him." "God, please help her," I thought. Suddenly, she whirled towards me. "I want to see him." We slowly walked down the corridor to 712. She pushed open the door. We moved to the bed, and she leaned over and buried her face in the sheets. I tried not to look at this. I backed against the bedside table, and my hands felt the scrap of paper. I picked it up. It read, "My dearest Janie, I forgive you. I pray you will also forgive me. I know that you love me. I love you too, Daddy." The note was shaking in my hands as I thrust it toward Janie. She read it once and then twice, and her tormented face changed. I whispered, "Thank you, God. Thank you that relationships, sometimes fragile as snowflakes, can be mended together, but there's not a moment to spare." That story illustrates to me how vital it is that every believer walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness, that we don't hold accounts against anyone. We don't know how much time any person has on this earth. If you're in relationship with someone right now that's estranged, you need to go immediately. Ask for forgiveness. Extend forgiveness. Pursue that lifestyle of forgiveness so that you too can finish well.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.